Think with me tonight about our confidence and our comfort, our joy. That I find, and I know you share this with me, that one of the unchangeable things because of the nature of our God is that when He says that He will never leave us and that He will abide with us, that we can take that quite literally. And there's a lesson on divine fireproofing tonight that as we move into Thanksgiving celebration, again, focusing on specific things that we can be grateful to the Lord for, I want to share with you a literal historical illustration of that. But before we do, I want to give you three or four references that all have the same theme in common. And again, addressing our confidence and our comfort, our joy, because of our abiding relationship with our unchangeable God. For example, in Micah 7, in verse 8, if you want to fetch that up and just have a look at it, there's just a portion of the verse that I'm going to zero on there. In Micah 7 and verse 8. During the course of study, whenever I begin making written notations, I will be with thee when. And of course, Micah 7, 8, we can understand, when I sit in darkness, the Lord, we understand, shall be a light unto me. Matter of fact, we understand that He who is the light is present to illumine when I sit in darkness. And that is always. And then another one comes to mind in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. And again, with regard to the absolute confidence in the presence of the Lord, when I pass through the waters, and of course hymn writers are great as they are poetic in illustrating or drawing comforting word pictures with their lyrics. Master, the tempest is raging is one of them. When I pass through the waters. There are other hymns along that line. And then there's a second one in that same place, in Isaiah 43, when I walk through the fire. And that's the point I want to leap on in a moment about the divine fireproofing. As a matter of fact, Isaiah goes on to say, when I walk through the fire, I will be with thee. Thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, of course, we are very familiar with Daniel 3, where that, in all of its literalness, happened to those servants of God. When I walked through the fire, remember there was the vision or the sighting on those who were outside the furnace of another person walking in the furnace, and when they were pulled from the furnace, there was not any evidence that they had been near the fire. I remind you that God can do anything. Anything. And then there is that familiar place in Psalm 23, verse 4. I will be with thee. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the verse goes on to say, thou art with me. Thou art with me. And again, I will fear no evil. His rod and staff, they're my comfort. So those things there, when I sit in darkness, when I pass through the waters, When I walk through the fire, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 56, 3 is another place. And I would encourage you to, if you have time tomorrow morning or whenever it is you have your devotions, to chase these down, look at the side references. Look at the context in which these verses sit. But in Psalm 56, 3, what time I'm afraid, or when I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. In all of this, my Lord says, I will be with me. An old Bible author suggested this. He said, let this be our prayer, that we may be able to speak gratefully with the clear, melodious voice of full assurance. And he noted that a grateful spirit should ever and always be cultivated by the Christian. And he went on to say then with regard to the church, that the church should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints. Every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. For why? Well, the Lord says, when and what time I'm afraid, and when I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will be with thee. Now, there is a very practical, very literal, historical illustration that leaps out of Daniel chapter 3. In the New Testament, if you would please, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, one of the things that the was well known about the Thessalonians, that they had a fluid faith. Wherever they went, they spread it. And it's good to hear about Don's pastor and Teresa's efforts, and many of you who've done the same thing over the years. Is when opportunity comes, you sow the seed, you leave the harvest to the Lord. But whenever we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to remind you that here in verse number 10, at the end of this chapter, having turned to God and now waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What is the nature of the wrath to come? Now I know that in our generation, not our generation, but this current generation, can I put it that way, has raised serious doubts and issues over the literalness of the nature of the wrath of God at the end. They have raised literal objection or serious objections as to the literalness of hell itself. And some have even gone so far over the edge as to assert that, and these are, you know, from all appearance, relatively solid Christian people who take a position today and bring expository sermons on the subject, that God does not plan to send anyone to hell. He loves everybody equally. And that whatever it is that Christ did on the cross, however effective His death was, it was sufficient and efficient for the redemption of every person on the planet in every generation. Okay? Now, I'm not bright enough to figure out all that. I just noticed that in the 10th verse there is something coming called wrath. Something coming called wrath. And I would just assume, encourage you along the line of the promissory nature of this, a divine fireproofing. And again, that prefaced on the truth of the Spirit of God indwelling, the permanent nature of that indwelling and the actual presence of God, even as we gather here tonight. The actual presence of God when you walk through the doors of your home. The actual presence of God when you jump in your vehicle to get there. And whatever it is you will do tomorrow with whomever you do it with over the next couple days, you can be confident that God is present. Now the skeptic will say, well, I can't see him, and there's not any way that the senses can determine that he's present. It seems nice, and it would be great if we could, but he's invisible. And enter then faith. Faith simply believes in the literalness of the effect that comes out of God's own word. Has God said it? Faith believes it. Where does that come from? Well, that comes from the Lord Himself. So when you think about this wrath, whatever nature it may well take, I want you to join me at another place in the Scripture. Just let the Scripture speak for itself as to what this is. In Hebrews 10, for example, and verse 27. Is there anything there in the Scriptures at the 27th verse that gives you a hint about the wrath that's coming? Anything there? I see several words there that could be descriptive of the wrath coming. It can be said to be a form of judgment, which it is. I mean, that's what wrath is. Wrath is the manner in which a holy God executes justice. And then we have in verse 27, fiery indignation. Now, I don't know how else to interpret fiery. Now, some people, well, just interpret it figuratively. Figuratively. Fiery indignation, sort of like a human being when they are said to be indignant, ferociously indignant over some sort of insult or some kind of offense raised against them. They can become very furious. But then there is also the word devour. You can be awfully fiery with your indignation in terms of your emotional response and outburst, but it never can devour anybody. Never can devour anybody. And keep in mind what one of the references here in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, speaks about God as a consuming fire. And where do we find a consuming fire early on in the Scriptures? We find it there in the book of Exodus when God appeared to Moses in what kind of a bush? And did the bush get, no. There is something more durable about the consuming nature of the fire. And it is consuming in the sense that it never, ever ceases. Now think about a fire that never ceases, never runs out of fuel on which to light. And then think of the wrath to come. Think about the literal nature of hell itself. A fire burning that never ebbs. Always, always is at the highest degree of temperature that an omnipotent God can gender in one place upon one person at a time. Forever, wrath to come. Now, as people saved by the grace of God and promised by God that we are saved from the wrath to come, Oh, the heart ought to be ringing at all times with thanksgiving. And why is that? Well, because we, in this sense, that we really understand that that the fire is where we deserve to be. Now look over in 2 Peter chapter 3 for just a second. 2 Peter 3. And verse number 7. The heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Now the same word has reference to the preceding verses where the flood is concerned. The same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I don't know how else to interpret that. I mean, even if I did my best figurative paint job, I don't know how you land there. Pretty clear, very forthright. And of course, back in the last book, in Revelation 21, when you get to the end of this, and this ought to strike fear in Revelation 21 verse number 8. This ought to strike fear in a specific grouping of people in every generation, but especially our own. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Now those are pretty serious things, don't you think? And then the next one, not so much. The next item on the list. And all liars. All liars. Can I just say this without making it slight? Every Gruber fits into this category. Every Gruber fits into this category. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now people will look at the fire and the brimstone, and they'll say, you've got to look at this, you dumb fundamentalists, as this figurative language on the part of the Lord. Where have you ever seen fire and brimstone before? Well, we go back into the Old Testament, and a couple of cities seems to me were the objects of the wrath of God with fire and brimstone. And that modern day high-tech archaeologists confirm the site as well as the residue. As if you needed evidence. I mean, if there were no evidence ever to be found, would you still believe it to be true? Why? God said it would be. So, confidence, comfort, and joy when God says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be there. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there. And the neat thing about it is that according to 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, before the fire ever gets lit here on the planet, the trumpet sounds and we are out of here. Divine fireproofing. Divine fireproofing. You say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, you won't. If you're going to wait till then to believe it, Sorry. Just take it this way. Have there ever been any other human beings in recorded history who have ever bypassed death on their way to heaven? Well, there's a couple of them I can think of, huh? Who? Elijah and? Right. And now I know that we get a little bit close to the edge of provincial interpretation here, but do we come back into the book of Revelation and we find these two fellows appearing again? They've been alive a long time. They've been alive a long time. Oh, wait, time out. I got to back up. No. Did they get interrupted? Did their long life get interrupted while they came back? The two witnesses? And insult upon insult. Insult upon insult. They were left to lay out for 3 days. And then the author and giver of life restores life. And back they go. God can do anything. He is worthy of our absolute and total trust, confidence. He is able all by himself to be our sole source of joy, even when things don't make any sense. Has anything been happening around you recently that's not making any sense? True. I just leave that with you. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope that you have a good time with family members and friends, and I would remind you one final verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, where it says, we have not been appointed to wrath. Not appointed to wrath. That's not a reservation we keep. There has been no reservation made for us who have trusted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we break this study time off and go into our time of prayer, we ask again that it might be a good, profitable time. And pray, dear Heavenly Father, in this hour for Dave and Sandy and the family, and pray, Lord, that there'll be no fear and that there would be no panic as the edge draws closer, but may Dave's resounding faith, even at this time, be afforded what you always supply to your children at this time, is the grace to die. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the nurses and the attendants to his care at this time, and we pray that you give them a special degree of compassion and kindness for the family. And we ask, dear Lord, that in this hour, that the seed of your word might continue to be sown in the hearts of all who have rubbed up against this family in this time of affliction. We commit the harvest of that effort for these many, many months into your care for Jesus' sake. Amen.